Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It is the Your Living Brand Live show. Good morning. It's 10 o'clock. It is the 23rd of October. Sorry, it's August. It's not October. With all the cold weather we got the other day from the eclipse, I was thinking it was starting to get cold again. But no, it is August. And welcome to the show. Today's show is going to have Bill Petrie in it, and he is absolutely phenomenal. He is the president and CEO of Promo Corner, and I'm going to let him tell you all about that. But first of all, let me tell you about what the show is about. This show is designed for people to understand their value as a company. What do you do? Why do you do it? Who do you do it for? How do you engage your audience? And what makes you special? Each week, we talk to somebody different, and what we find out is what are the little things that they do within their company to make them different, to stand out, to get a hold of their audience and to keep their audience, and what are the special little things that they do to let their audience know that they care and to have those people tell their story for them. Now, before I start, you know, let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Ben Baker. My company, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, is yourbrandmarketing.com. We're a full-size marketing agency, and what we do is we consult, we teach, and we speak on brand, message, market, vision, and value. Our job is to get you noticed and to create your living brand. So without further ado, let's bring Bill on, and let's have a little chat. So, Bill, welcome to the show. And we are live with Bill Petrie of Promo Corner. Hey, Bill, you know what? Thank you very much for joining us. Love having you here this week.
Appreciate it. And just so you know, it's Petrie. That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what? I've been called worse. And in fact, I've been called worse today. So it's okay.
You know what? I was playing golf with some guys on Monday. They called me Dan the entire round.
You know, again, it could be worse, right? They could call you another four-letter word with the letter D.
Yes, it's very true. It's very true. And, you know, with the, you know, they call it golf because every other four-letter word was taken. So, you know,
that's right.
You go for that.
That's right.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. What a great way to start off an interview. So, you know what? Let's talk. Let's talk about Promo Corner. Let's talk about, you know, you have made an amazing changeover from being a consultant in the promo industry to being a thought leader in the promo industry, and you still are. But to leading an amazing organization, and that's going to be a change, you know, from going from the consultant role to the CEO role, and you know, and making that transition. So, first of all, tell me the story about Promo Corner, and then tell me the story about how you made the transition, you know, and made the transition so successfully.
I think I could best tell the story about Promo Corner, the brand, by telling a little bit about my story, because I believe very much that every single one of us. You, Ben, me, everybody watching, we're all our own brand. And so I've been in the promotional products industry for darn near 17 years. And I had held some really great positions at fantastic organizations, some senior leadership positions at larger distributors. And I had an opportunity to build my own distributorship through an existing office products company. But due to a merger in 2014, you know, no fault of my own, I found myself out of a job. Yeah. And at, 44, kind of at a crossroads, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I looked in the mirror and said, oh, you've already grown up. You better figure that crap out pretty quickly. So,
especially with a wife and kids that are, you know, looking at you for where's the check this week, Dad?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I decided to take a little bit of a flyer and start my own company. I saw a gap in the industry where small and medium sized suppliers and distributors who wanted to grow but didn't know how to grow responsibly. And they didn't know how to tell their story. They didn't know how to relate to their target audience. Maybe they didn't even know how to find their target audience. So I ended up doing that. And I started that company off actually to find a job. There's not a lot of opportunities at senior level positions in the industry just because there's not a lot of companies that offer them. And I thought a great way to find a job was to build a website, which I did, and kind of start a company.
Right.
And all of a sudden, next thing I knew, it became viable. It became a real, it's like Pinocchio. It became a real boy. And I found myself working with some great clients like Org Audio and T-Shirt Tycoon and Next Products and some great distributors. And I really enjoyed it. And after about 3 years, Now, at the same time, I had been providing some content for Promo Corner. Kirby Hossman and I do a podcast every week for Promo Corner, and they were looking for someone to not only become the face of their organization, but to lead the organization. So Promo Corner's their story, Promo Corner's been around since 1999. And they've built up a great reputation as a email service provider, mainly to suppliers, but distributors as well. And it's a good cash cow. It really is.
Yeah.
When they approached me and Joel Moore, who owns the company, we had a great conversation. You know, as we're trying to figure out, are we dating? Are we getting married? What are we doing here? And the more we talked, the more in alignment we felt, because I look at Promo Corner as a sleeping giant. Right. And so I see them as a preeminent email digital services marketing provider, mm-hmm. but it can be a lot more. And so my first task has been to rebrand the company. Not
right.
necessarily to change the name, but the logo's changing, the website's changing. And so I'll be available for the world to see around September 5th. So about a week and a half from when this airs. And I'm excited about that. I'm also nervous about it because everybody knows I'm at Promo Corner and everybody knows whatever changes we make. If we fail, it's my fault. If we succeed.
But if you succeed, it's your fault.
No, if we succeed, it's a team effort and I was part of it. And that's the
okay.
And that's just part of it, right?
Yeah.
And I relish that type of a challenge. So the move from being an entrepreneur, which I always made the joke, I was an accidental entrepreneur. I never set out to do it. I think I have an entrepreneurial spirit, but I never set out to actually do it. It serves me well. So the things I was doing at Brandivate in terms of the rebranding and marketing and getting myself out there are the same things I'm doing at Promo Corner.
Yeah.
And I look forward to expanding on that. And I don't even know if I answered your question even remotely at this point.
Well, you know, what you did is you gave us a good start. You know, it's, Promo Corner, from what I understand of it, and you know, and I've seen you guys from the outside for years. I mean, right. I've been in this industry, oh God, 20 years now. So right. I mean, I actually predate, you know, Promo Corner.
Sure.
You guys have been one of the preeminent communication pieces in this industry that allow suppliers to get information out to the distributor channel quickly, efficiently, and provide them with information that they can relate to their customers to let them know what's going on in the industry. So whether it be specials, whether it be innovation in the industry, whether it be new product launches, whatever, it allows you to effectively communicate, you know, for the supply channel through to the distributors to the end users so they understand what's new, what's innovative, and what they can do to be able to be on the cutting edge of, you know, be able to give value to the end user.
Right. And I'm glad you know that, because one of the challenges I faced coming in, nobody does.
Yeah.
So when, I mean, people, the exchange I got was most of the time, hey, congratulations that a Promo Corner acquired.
My question is, and you know, branding obviously is something that's right up my wheelhouse, and I love it. Right. You know, I've had a chance to see the new logo, and you're not allowed, and I'm not allowed to show it to the people. And fair enough, you know, that's fair. Let's. I know. I promise. I won't do it. But what I'm curious about is, yeah. You know, you guys are you tweaking the story? Are you repositioning the story? Because you're certainly not burying it, you know, laying it to waste and developing a brand new brand for Promo Corner. What you're doing is, it's a repositioning from what I understand, but you tell me the direction, you know, that you're allowed to tell.
Well, I'm president of the company, so I'll tell you what I want to tell you. Nobody has
Well, that's fair enough.
I would say we are really rebranding. So
okay.
Part of the challenge of Promo Corner is, Promo Corner, I'm sure you remember, there used to be a print magazine called Identity Marketing.
Yes.
And Identity Marketing was acquired by Promo Corner, I believe, 4 years ago. And so mm-hmm. it became an online publication, no more print publication. I had done content work for Promo Corner as part of my old company, Brandivate, for well over a year, almost 2 years. And I was very confused where Identity Marketing began and Promo Corner began. It, to me, was very, right. very confusing. And I liked, even though I went to Texas A&M University and I know all the lyrics to the Aggie War hymn, I don't think I'm stupid. And so if I can't figure it out and I'm willing to tell someone I can't figure it out, there's got to be 80 or 100 people behind me that also can't figure it out.
Or so, 80,000.
Right. So, you know, I've had to make some changes there. Is how do we work that into one cohesive brand? Mm-hmm. So it is definitely a rebranding, but it's also a repositioning, like you had said. So it's right. really to tell our story. It's to, first of all, the look needs to be updated. The logo is yeah. a little old. It served its purpose. And with all due respect to how that logo was created, I don't even know, it's time for a change. And yeah. I'm a big believer that every single brand, unless you're Coca-Cola or McDonald's, every single brand should look at their brand and their brand messaging every 18 months to 2 years.
Agreed.
In my target audience. Is it conveying the emotions I want people to have when they see my logo, which represents my brand? Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that every couple of years. So the branding we're rolling out today may not be the branding we use in 3 years, but it's got to start that conversation of, okay, who are these guys now? I may or may not have, in a lot of cases, know who Promo Corner was, but I want to know who they are now. And that branding, redoing an entire website, relabeling a lot of things, a lot of the company assets that we have mm-hmm. helps us tell that story, helps us position to do that. And it's a scary thing to do. As excited I am about that, September 5th launch, I'm a little nervous. I'm anxious.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's half the fun is if you're not nervous, if you're not anxious, what's the fun of it? You know, it's how are people going to accept it? I mean, it's the difference between a logo and a brand. And people use these terms synonymously, but they're not.
They're not.
They're completely different. The logo is the Nike swoosh. That little check mark in the air that is a placeholder for the brand. All that does is it gets you to think about what the brand is about. The brand is, who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it? You know, what do you stand for? What do you stand against? You know, what are the things that you're passionate about? And what are the things that if they went away, people would miss them about you?
Yeah, I always look at like the brand and logo conversation as an iceberg, right? So the tip of the iceberg that you see above the ocean is the logo. That's the visual representation. Mm-hmm. The underneath is the brand, and that's the emotions it elicits. For example, here in the United States, I can see the Comcast logo, and inside I feel irritation. I feel anger because I've had bad customer service experiences with them. To right. me, that's their brand. Here's the thing. I don't get to decide what you feel when you see my brand.
No.
You do.
Right.
And people don't realize that. So that logo is, like you said, it's a manifestation of all the feelings that your brand conveys.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you don't own your brand anymore. Your customer does.
Yep.
Your customer owns your brand. Your customer gets to decide how they feel about your brand. You can influence it.
Yep.
You can create a story around it. You can build a culture around it to be able to say, these are the things that I want to do. And get if you can get your people on board so everybody believes the same thing and they're talking the same way, you know, you can do a lot to influence that by really talking and breathing and living the brand. But right. but in the end, it's the customer that gets to decide what that brand's about.
The customer decides everything. They decide if you resolve problems in the way they want them resolved. They decide how they feel when they see your logo. They decide, you know, 75% of all purchasing decisions are now made on the internet before they interact with a human being.
Yeah.
So that's why the brand story and all the assets, you know, attached to a brand are so critically important. So, you know, it's going to be a nice, clean new logo, and the website's going to be a lot more of an upgrade. But at the end of the day, we'll tell our story and people will find it compelling or they won't. I can't control that. But I can right. just put it out there and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah. And you can tell the story of your brand and what your vision is of it. But whether people accept that or not, that's the true litmus test. The litmus test is, do people get what you're saying? Do they engage with it? Do they believe in it? Do they trust it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you told me a great story off the air about, you know, you talking about a woman that was speaking at a conference. Right. And at the end of her talk, No one in the audience, you guys looked at each other and says, do we really believe her?
Yeah. I mean, you know, she certainly was well-spoken,
yep.
But she was too well-spoken. Right. Mm-hmm. And you talk in the industry, I talk in the industry, and I'm a big believer when I give a talk, I want to know about 75 to 80% of what I'm going to say. And that other 25 to 20% is the danger zone, but that keeps me on my toes. That keeps
absolutely
me engaged in the audience. And while the information she gave was certainly good and it made sense and it flowed well, she was so polished, it felt like it was a one person Broadway show. And it just felt inauthentic. And that's something I am, you know, I find just morally repugnant, quite frankly.
And brands can come across that way.
Absolutely. Maybe something went wrong and they completely took care of it in a manner that just created a wow in your mind.
Yep.
And we can all think of brands that completely dropped the ball or ignored you. And next time you see that logo, those emotions, they're real emotions. They come to surface.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me a bit about why do your customers trust you? Why do your customers value you? And, you know, what are the little things that you guys do to be able to, you know, build a niche, build a tribe, and get people to come back and use you time and time again?
First thing I think we do is we provide value, and I'll define value because one of my pet peeves is when people say, well, I want to add value to the transaction. What the hell does that mean? Value of what? Mm-hmm. So I'll define the what. Number one, we're cost effective. So from a cost per impression standpoint, from a digital marketing perspective, we are extraordinarily cost effective. So there's value there. I think we provide a ROI, a very good return on investment, because we have some pretty robust reporting on the back end that we share with all of our clients. So they can see these are our current offerings. There's going to be a lot more offerings as I tell the story moving forward. But we have a lot of robust statistics in terms of how many people opened an email, how many click-throughs, how long did they spend on the offer, what products did they click on in the offer. We provide a lot of unique tools so end users can share, distributors can share offers with their end users that are clean and with one simple click. So we offer a lot of, here's my thing. I'm a big believer, and this is my talk, and I know you're speaking at Expo, I'm speaking at Expo, and my talk is about something is probably my most passionate hot button right now is removing friction from the process.
Yeah.
And if we don't remove friction from the process, I've got other competitors out there. And so if it's easier to work with them, people are going to do that. I can tell you how different my list is than everybody else. I can tell you how awesome we are and how pretty our new colors are and how great I am. But at the end of the day, if it's more work to do work with Promo Corner, we're going to lose.
Right.
And so I've placed a lot of focus on the back end initially to make sure that we're making it easier for our customers to use us. And if I'm not doing that, they should go somewhere else.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I agree. I mean, a perfect example is this show. When I first started it in the beginning of June, I was using a different software. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my guests were finding it hard to use. I was having some challenges with it. We ended up having to, you know, cancel a couple of episodes because I just literally couldn't get people online.
Right.
And, you know, we had to dump it because it was just not good for our customers. And our customers were the people that were watching the show. And we were finding that we were getting immediate drop-off rate because the technology wasn't working. Well, we've now gone to a company called Webinar Jam, who I love. They're great. WebinarJam.com. Amazing stuff. And their tech support is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and that alone, yes, you know, the technology is a little bit better. Is it more expensive? Absolutely it is. I think it's double what I was paying before.
Right.
But it's worth every single penny because the technology is stable. It allows me to, you know, do I want to record in high definition? Do I want to record in medium definition? Right. Do I want to do this live? Do I want to do this recorded? And everything's there. And the more options you can make and allow your customers to use your services the way it's comfortable for them, the more they're going to continue using your brand.
I learned I used to work at Halo Branded Solutions, and I was a regional vice president there for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I started gosh, I guess it was 9 months before the bankruptcy. And so I saw a lot of stuff. In fact, I know more about Chapter 11 corporate bankruptcy law in the United States than anybody really should, but that's beside the point. One of the valuable lessons I learned there was we had efficiency experts come into the operations center in Sterling, Illinois, which is where all the back end office support is, all the support for the salespeople housed in one location. And I'll never forget working with them and watching them measure how many steps, literally walking steps, it would take for this person to go to that person to hand a piece of paper and how they would create efficiencies. And that made an indelible impression upon me. So as I've looked at our new website and how we want to make sure we're giving people information, our customers and our non-customers who visit the site, want to make sure I want to reduce the number of clicks to get to their information. A perfect example, when I came to Promo Corner, one of the things that they did every week was a poll. It was it would stay on the screen for a set period of time before you could get to where you wanted to go. And it was a little wonky on mobile with so many people interacting specifically through their mobile device. I knew we were getting drop off and I killed it. And we might revisit doing polls again sometime, but just because we liked doing it doesn't mean we should be doing it. It's what do our customers not only want, but what do they need? And so by removing just a simple layer of friction, we've seen our site visits go up. I mean, our page visits, we've changed a lot of the content we're providing and a little more of that, but we've seen our page visits go up from an average of about 45,000 a month to about 120,000 a month average, and just in the last 5 months.
So almost triple.
Almost triple. And, you know, some of that's bots and some of that's so on and so forth, but a lot of it's actual clicking people and human beings, and that's valuable. And so we need, you know, one of the most difficult things in the world to do is to make something simple. And that's my goal, is to make things simple for our clients who certainly pay us to provide a service for them, but also the people who visit the content part of the website so they can be educated, so they can be engaged and informed.
It's interesting what you say about simple, because I think of I'm starting to, are you getting reverb? No,
not
okay,
at all.
Just on my side. Disney goes off and tells a story, because I've gone to the Doing Business Disney Way full day workshops, worth every penny, cost a fortune, you know, phenomenal. The one story they tell is they actually had somebody sit there and go into the different parks and figure out how many steps people were willing to take to throw something in the garbage. And the story is 30 steps. They will not go 31. They will not go 32. They'll go 30 steps. And if you look at the garbage cans throughout any of the parks, they're built that way. And it's all those little things that we do as companies that make those things that build the alliances and the allegiances to us.
The devil's in the details. I work with suppliers and distributors, and I've always said, look, everybody does the big things right. Right, you order product, you decorate product, you ship product, you deliver the product, it's invoiced. Everybody's really good at invoicing.
Yes, they are.
But it's the little things. So that's the big stuff. The machine moves, the industry works. It's been built that way for decades. It works pretty well. It's the little things along the way to pay attention to. It's being passionately curious. It's finding a way to deliver a promotional product that's not in a cellophane bag. It's creating a little bit of joy when you do make that delivery. It's following up afterwards and not accepting fine as an answer when you ask the question, how are we doing? It's pushing back and saying, no, give me more. Tell me more. What can we be doing better? Those are the things that make the difference. Those are the details that people, unfortunately, I think, let fall by the wayside, because it's that whole, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. Can I swear on here?
Sure, go ahead.
Bullshit. Sweat the small stuff. Small stuff.
It's all small stuff.
Sweat the small stuff, because the small stuff is where the loyalty is. That's where the money is. And that's where the relationships are in.
Exactly.
That's where the memory. That's where the memories are created, right? You gotta just talk about that Disney thing. You heard that one time, you'll never forget it.
Right.
And we all think of brands we've worked with, both in the industry and out of the industry, that went the extra mile when they didn't have to, gave you something for free when they didn't need to, or just went out of their way to make your experience easier, and you will be loyal to them to a fault.
Oh, absolutely. I have a supplier in the promotional industry that 15 years ago, we did a job with them, and it was for 20,000 lanyards. It was a fairly large, you know, order for a hospital region.
Right.
And they were signed off on. The proof was signed off on. They were supposed to be double-sided, and they showed up single-sided.
Awesome.
Not a whine, not a complaint, not anything. Within 7 days, I had 20,000 new lanyards airshipped to me from China at their cost with a, I'm sorry.
That's amazing.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I embarrassed you in front of your customers. And this is what we can do to make it up to you. And, you know, and if you want to take those other lanyards and you want to donate them to a charity, go ahead.
All right. Well, that's great.
So it was, but you know, 15 years later, I don't go anywhere else for lanyards. And I tell that story all the time. And it's those little stories that we tell that make the good companies great.
It's when things go wrong, you have an opportunity to control that narrative, because things go wrong in our industry. Way too many fingers touch every order, and the human element is not out of it. Mm-hmm. So things are going to happen. And so when that happens, you have an opportunity to control the narrative, because we all know you have a bad experience at a restaurant and they don't make it right. You tell about 80 friends, and you get just as angry as you did when your fish came and it was raw or whatever the problem was. But when you control that narrative and you accept responsibility, which always diffuses the situation, and you tell people what you can do instead of what you can't do, and then you do it, and you are doing it with empathy, and you're doing it with sympathy, and you're doing it with care and respect, people remember that. So I look at those opportunities for failure when they do happen. That is your best opportunity to fly.
Yeah. And why, and that's the key thing, is the opportunity.
Yep. Why do people love the Four Seasons so much? Mm-hmm. They pay attention to every little detail. When something goes wrong, they're going to fix it immediately. I believe their saying is, I'll take care of the difficult immediately, and the impossible will take 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we had Stan Phelps on our show a few weeks ago.
Love Stan.
Oh, yeah. Stan's a great guy. First of all, he said to say hello.
And he is a good man.
He is a good man.
One of my favorite people. And he really has taught me a lot. He's probably a closet mentor to me, and I don't even know if he knows that.
There you go. What I love about Stan is the story that he tells about the purple goldfish. He says, and off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the hotel, and I apologize. I will get the name of it, and I will get back to people. But, you know, the fact that they go out of their way and provide you with a goldfish in your room if you're there for a few days.
It's the Kimpton Hotel chain.
There we go. It's the Kimpton Hotel chain. And, you know, the fact that they do those little things that no one else does that sets them apart. And that's the neat thing about any industry. You have the ability as a company, as an employee of a company, to go ahead and do those little things that are going to make all the difference in the world. And that's what will build your brand. That's what will build your reputation. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, what industry you're in. No. People remember the little things, and people are human. And when we treat each other as human and we say we're sorry, and we sit there and say, you know what, we made a mistake. Here's how we can fix it. Here's a couple of choices, Mr. Customer. Which one's best for you?
Right.
Let's go from there.
Yeah, it's the money's in the little things. And I know that's awful, but we're here to sell things. That's, yes. I mean, nothing works without a sale. And people have money to spend, and people are willing to spend money on the little things. Mm-hmm. You know, what is a hotel room? Tell me what a hotel room is at 2:30 in the morning when your eyes are shut and you're sleeping. They all look the same.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a Motel 6, if it's a Holiday Inn, or if it's a Four Seasons or a Kimpton. When your eyes are shut at 2:13 in the morning, they all look exactly the same. It's those little things that keep people coming back. The Kimpton Hotels, they're on the premium side of things. The Four Seasons is on the premium side of things. And people are willing to spend that money to get the little things, to get a goldfish in their room, to have a free wine tasting, which I stayed at the Kimpton Hotel and in San Francisco, and they had free wine tastings from 5 to 7 every night. Who doesn't want to do that? I mean,
exactly.
Those are those little things that people are willing to spend money on, because we buy products, but we really embrace experiences.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't provide people with those experiences, if you don't provide people with value that they perceive,
right,
they're not going to give you their money. Or they're not going to sit there and say, you know what, we're $500 and the other people are $200. If they don't see the perceived value in their mind, they're right. not going to spend that extra $300. No. If in their mind they can get something at $200 that's just as good.
They might once. That's why restaurants go out of business. People try it once, and if it stinks and the service is bad and the food isn't great, I'm not going back. I'll try anything once.
Yeah.
Especially if
there's a coupon.
Yeah, hey, brand new hat supplier, sure, I'll give them a try. All the embroidery patches on the side of the headgear came upside down. I'm out. That's and they didn't take care of it. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Never to be used again.
Nope. Landfill material.
Absolutely. Because you know what? It's everybody's reputation at stake.
Yep, it is.
And, you know, and that's those are the little things we need to focus on to realize that, you know what? It's the little things that go up and down the chain that make things interesting for everybody and make things more valuable for everybody.
You focus on the details, but never try to achieve perfection. It can't be. Sometimes you just got to get stuff done and get it out there and fix it on the fly.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we've gone through a lot of great things over the last half hour, you know, and I really appreciate your time because, you know what? It's got to be a busy time with the new logo and the new brand coming up. You got to be going really crazy these days.
It is a little busy, but never too busy to talk to someone I like, I respect.
Thank you.
I hate the word busy. We're all busy. I don't know one person who isn't busy.
And
busy,
absolutely.
Busy is a euphemism for I don't care. It's not important to me. So I'm happy to be here. Being here was important to me, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Perfect. I've got one last question for you.
All right, fire away.
This is my favorite question, and I ask it to all my guests. When you leave the room,
yes.
When you walk out the door, when you jump in your car and you walk and you drive away, what's the one thing you want your customers to think about Bill and Promo Corner, and what's the impression you want to leave in their minds?
Easiest question you've asked me all day: authenticity. You know me well, hopefully some people who see this know me well. I'm the same person here talking to you as I would be standing in front of a group of 150 promotional products professionals talking to them. Mm-hmm. I speak in the same way, or if I'm sitting in the corner of a restaurant having a sandwich with a friend, I am the same person no matter what. I don't play a character. I don't do that. I'm me. Mm-hmm. And so love me. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. That authenticity makes me uniquely me. You know, too many people try to be a lesser version of someone they admire. And the best version of yourself is much better than the lesser person or, less version of somebody else. Mm-hmm. So to me, it would be whether they like me or hate me or have no opinion of me. If they think of me, I want to think, at least I know with him, what I see is what I get.
Yeah. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bill, thanks a lot for being on the show. Just hang out in the green room. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I will be right back to you.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
So thanks everybody. Thanks for coming on board. Thanks for listening to the show. Bill, it was a pleasure having you on board. You know, this show is all about understanding about how to communicate your uniqueness. Take the time, figure it out. Figure out what makes you unique. Figure out what makes you special. And figure out the little things that you can do to make things better for your clients. Because you know what? They will appreciate it. You know, next week, we have a special guest, Paul Bellantone. is the president and CEO of Promotional Products Association International. He is the guy that is leading the charge and leading the association of the promotional product industry and talking not only to the people inside the industry, but people outside the industry of the value of promotional marketing. And I'm really excited to have it. But we're going to do things a little differently next week. I'm going to be away on vacation. I'm going to be sitting on a boat in Haines, Alaska, and I'm going to give you guys a preamble on a shout out on Facebook Live. And my Facebook is Your Brand Marketing. Come and join us at 10 o'clock Pacific time next Wednesday, August 30th. I'll give you guys a shout out. And then I'm going to give you guys a pre-recorded copy of our interview. It was a great interview. We had a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to having you guys listen to what Paul has to say. Once again, it's Ben Baker. It's Your Brand Marketing. You know what? Have a great day, everybody, and I will see you guys live back here at the show on September 6th. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.